Turn with me today to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 11. This will be the 48th message in the series of messages on the whole counsel of God, and will be the second message in the series on the subject of the decrees or purposes of God. Reading from the book of Ephesians, beginning in verse 3 of the first chapter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Today we wish to concentrate upon this particular phrase found in verse 11, where it is said that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. In our last assembly, we took the first part of our definition of the decrees of God and dealt with it. And we will at this time give that particular definition again. The decrees of God are his eternal purposes according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. The first part of this definition we established in our last setting was that God has one eternal purpose in his creation, and that is to reveal the person and work of his Son in all of his glorious attributes. And all of the events and purposes which surround this one eternal purpose are included in what we call the decrees of God. Now, reading from the Philadelphia Confession of Faith, we want to now concentrate upon the second part of this definition, which states that God's eternal purpose in Christ is based upon the counsel of his own will. In chapter 3 and verse 1 in the Philadelphia Confession, or rather section 1, we read, "God hath decreed in himself from all eternity, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably, all things whatsoever come to pass, yet so as thereby is God neither the author of sin, nor hath fellowship with any therein, nor is violence offered to the will of the creature, nor yet is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established, in which appears his wisdom in disposing all things and power and faithfulness in accomplishing his decree." Now, section 2. "Although God knoweth whatsoever may or can come to pass upon all supposed conditions, yet hath he not decreed anything, because he foresaw it as future, or as that which would come to pass upon such conditions." Now, this is simply stating this in summary, which we're going to be concentrating upon today. And that is this fact, that God's bringing to pass, or his predestination of events and his purpose in Christ, is not based upon his foresight of what would come to pass, But he foreknows what will come to pass because he has foreordained that in Christ Jesus. Now this is what we mean by him working all things after the counsel of his own will. And this is brought out in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 18. Acts chapter 15, verse 18, which reads, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now get the order. Known unto God are all of his actions from the beginning of the world. What God purposed or foreordained to come to pass, God now has perfect foreknowledge or foresight of that, because it is founded in the immutability or unchangeableness of his own will. So today we want to labor with this statement or this principle that the decrees of God are founded in the chambers of infinite wisdom and are framed by the sovereignty of God's own free will. Yes, beloved, God has a free will. We hear much today of the exaltation of man's so-called free will. But let us never forget it is God and he alone which has the prerogative to exercise his own free will as it pleases him. We read that we have been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Why does God do what he does? Simply because it pleases him. And infinite wisdom says that it is the best that is to be. And so God is pleased then to order whatsoever comes to pass because infinite wisdom pleased his will in so doing. Now God's wisdom is infinite wisdom. And it is not limited wisdom such as yours and mine. I may set out to have certain plans and purposes, but I see those plans and purposes frustrated and they fail to come to pass. This is never true of God. God has never seen one of his plans, which is included in revealing the glorious attributes of the person and work of his Son, ever fail to come to pass. And that's because he has first set down in the council halls of infinite wisdom and has ordered whatsoever falls out or comes to pass in time. Now this is emphasized by the words of our Lord in the Gospel of Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Luke chapter 14 verse 28. He gives a parable here of how men should exercise wisdom prior to their attempt to bring something to pass. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest, haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Now we ask the question, if this is true of a wise man, that he sits down and plans out his purposes to make sure he's able to bring them to pass, then how much more so is it true of infinite wisdom, speaking of this eternal God, that he first sat down and according to the counsel of his own will, let his wisdom decree what would come to pass. We see this also in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 25. Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 25. Now there are several questions which have plagued the minds of men, good men, down through the centuries of the history of the human race. They are questions that are very difficult for our finite minds to understand. Why did God act in this particular way at a certain time? Why does God permit sin to exist in his moral universe? Why does he allow suffering? Why did God provide salvation for the race of man and not for the fallen angels? Why does God create one individual with a perfectly normal human body and another with a body that is deformed? Why does one individual go through life with perfect health and another one has to suffer with a disease racking their body throughout their existence? These are questions which have troubled the minds of men. Now, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus has just explained the judgment that's going to come or would come upon a couple of cities if or because of the mighty works or miracles which had been done in them, and yet they did not repent when he went to them. And so he says, if these works, or if God had done these works in Sodom and in Tyre, those cities would have repented. But therefore I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now this raises a question to the thinking person. Why then did not God do these works in Sodom and in Tyre if that he knew that they would have repented? And how do we answer these questions? Why does God do something for one city or one person, and yet he does not do the same thing for another city or another person? Why does God bless one individual and withhold his blessings from another? Why does this come to pass? Jesus gives us the answer. At that time, verse 25, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now notice Jesus stops and he prays at the end of this statement of why God blesses one city and why he withholds his workings in another city. And Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that you do it this way. You see that? Lord of heaven and earth, you have the ability to work in one city the same as you do in another city. Because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes. And Father, on the basis of this, it seemed good in thy sight. And I am willing and desirous of seeing that your will is the right will for what comes to pass. If you see that it is good, then I submit unto your infinite wisdom. If it pleased you to reveal your grace unto some and withhold it from others, then, Father, if that seems good in thy sight, then I rejoice in the infinite wisdom of your actions. Now, there was another part, another location in the New Testament in which that they came to Christ and they asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he gave this answer. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Why? Why? Why does God reveal his mercy unto some and not unto all? Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Infinite wisdom has so ordered that in revealing all of your glorious attributes in the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ, that it was infinitely wise that you reveal your mercy unto some and that you withhold your mercy from others in order that your attribute of justice be carried out in their lives. They did not love you, they did not want your will, and you merely left them to their own will. And now you shall judge them in holy justice. But unto others you shall work and change their will to where they shall become a willing people. And Father, it seemed good in your sight to do this. Then we rejoice and bow at the feet of infinite wisdom. Now the purpose of God is immutable. That means it's unchangeable. Whatever God purposed before the foundation of the world shall not be changed by any creature or any event in the creation. Now, God's will is immutable, and this means that it shall never be changed. Now, why do men's purposes fail to be completed? We find that our plans are sometimes frustrated and they fail to be completed, but not so with God. Well, why do our plans fail? There are three reasons. Number one, ignorance or lack of wisdom in the formulation of our plans. I may sit down and I may plan to do something today, but something comes up as the day progresses which I overlooked, and my finite wisdom did not foresee that this would come about. And because this did come about, it has frustrated my plan. So men's plans fail because of ignorance. Secondly, men's purposes or plans fail to be completed because of lack of ability or power. That is, when I may set out to do something and I may suddenly discover that I don't have the ability within my body to do it. It's beyond my capacity. It's beyond my ability. And because of lack of ability, I fail to see my purposes completed. And then the third reason why the plans and purposes of men fail to be achieved is a lack of settled purpose. They're not really determined that that's what they really want to do. Have you not experienced your own child perhaps running in and saying, Dad, give me a cookie, and you say no, and they run right back out and go on their way? Now, what has happened? They really didn't have a settled purpose that they wanted that cookie. It just crossed their mind. They thought they'd try it out, and when they got a no answer, they went right on their way. Now, that's not true of God. All of God's purpose are settled in the serious wisdom of His own will. So for three reasons, then, ignorance, lack of ability, and lack of purpose, the purposes of men fail to come to pass. But God's will never changes. God never changes His purposes. Beloved, there has never been a time in the mind of God when He ever changed His mind. Now, you and I change our minds. And it's because that certain events come to pass which shed more light upon our circumstances that we must back up and reevaluate the situation. But this never occurs with God. God, because He's infinitely wise and is knowledgeable of all events, never has to change His own purposes. Have you ever seen a computer readout? Have you ever seen the little tape as it comes out of the computer? Now, that tape represents what the mind or the wisdom of the computer actually is. The wisdom that is fed into that computer bank then comes out on that computer readout. Now, beloved, what is taking place in time here in history is but the computer readout of the will of God, which has been fed by His own infinite wisdom, that out of all of the possible things that could come to pass in His plan, this is the most desirable. This is the most wise. This is the most holy. This is the most just. This is the most good. Now let's look at some scriptures which bear this out, that God never changes His purposes or His plans. In the book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 14, verse 13 and 14, we read these words, "But He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for Me, and many such things are with Him." Now, this was Job's evaluation of what's happened to him. Job's sitting here with disease in his body. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his friends. He's lost his family. And now then, how does he reconcile himself to these events? He says, "God is of one mind, and who shall turn Him? Who shall persuade God to have done anything differently?" Why? Because what His soul desires, even that He does, "For He performs the thing that is appointed for Me, and many such things are with Him." Job recognized that his calamity, his adversity, was but the fulfillment of the purpose of God in his life, that God was doing to Job what God so desired to do. And Job said that because of this, He's performing the thing that He appointed for Me, and there are many such things with Him. That is, He has many purposes that He is fulfilling in time. Then also, we can go to the book of Psalms, chapter 33, and verse 10. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord shall stand, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Now, did you see that? That is, the counsel of God stands forever. His thoughts of his heart, what he's purposed to all generations. Generations come about in time, and God has settled purposes and plans for those particular generations, and they shall not be changed, because his purposes are founded in infinite wisdom. The Bible says, whatsoever the Lord doeth, he doeth it forever. God's purposes, which he's working out in our lives, are but the fulfillment of that which he purposed in eternity before the foundation of the world. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 9 and 10, we have this same thing brought out again. Remembering the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Well, why is there none like you, God? Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. Only God can declare the end from the beginning. Why? Because of infinite wisdom. Only God can declare the things which are not yet done, that they shall come to pass. And this is all based upon this principle. God's counsel shall stand, and he will do all of his pleasure. That which he seemed best, Jesus would bow before in his prayer to the Father, and with a loving and rejoicing heart say, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Now, if God then never changes his plan and his purpose, and it is based upon the counsel of his own will, then what applications can we make from this? If his will is settled, and he is carrying out what infinite wisdom has said would be the most desirable thing to bring to pass, then what are the applications we can draw from this truth today? Number one, to those that are present this morning, and you are in rebellion or disagreement with God's plan in what he is doing in your life, then we have a word to you from God himself. As you sit here and in your own thoughts and minds, you sit in rebellion and you question God and you argue with God as Pharaoh did when he said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And you would bring every one of God's actions that you cannot understand, bring them into your judgment court and sit them before your throne and say, now, God, you give an account of yourself to my wisdom as to why this has occurred in my life. Then let us look as to how God then will reply to you. In the book of Job, chapter 38, and verses 2 through 4, God would, instead of allowing you to take him to task for what he is doing in history, then he would reply to you at the judgment bar in these words, who is this that darkeneth counsel or wisdom by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. God says, hold it, you've made your charges long enough, now you sit back and you let me give some charges. And here's one of them. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Where were you when I began to create the heavens and the earth? Could I have used your wisdom? Would you have instructed me to do something in a different way? Do you really believe that you, one of my own finite creatures, possesses superior wisdom to mine? Oh, how I could have used you there in the eternal councils before the foundation of the world. How I could have used you as my counselor to advise me as to what I should do and what I should not do. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Do you understand what holds the world and the earth in its orbit? Explain that, if you can. If you cannot, then sit back and bow to my own wisdom in what I am doing. In the 40th chapter and verse 2, we read these words. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Shall a creature contend with the Almighty God and instruct the Almighty God as to what he ought to be doing and what he should not be doing? My friend, rebellion will be crushed under the wisdom of an Almighty God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 13, we have this same question that God would pose to those who are in rebellion against his own plan, which is taking place in history. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13, he asks, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Which one, which individual, which creature of God has ever directed the Spirit of God as to where he should go and how he should act? Which one, which creature of God has ever been God's counselor and has taught him wisdom, has taken God aside and instructed him and advanced him in judgment and in knowledge and showed to God the way of understanding as to what should be going on? Yes, my friend, if you're here today and you're in rebellion against the plan of Almighty God and Jesus Christ, then, my friend, you will one day bow, as every knee shall bow, and confess to the glory of God the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, that you might do it today. That you might do it today, because you're going to do it sooner or later. You're either going to bow to his marvelous, infinite wisdom in Christ Jesus now, or you're going to do it at the judgment. The only difference being the matter of time. It's just a matter of time. But there will be another difference, too. At the judgment, it will be to your condemnation, but now today is the day of salvation. God offers mercy and forgiveness to those who have rebelled against his purpose in Christ Jesus. God offers grace unto those who will come to his Son in repentance and faith. Will you come today? Will you even come even now? Lay down the arms of rebellion. Lay down the arms of disobedience. And ask God for a new heart to give you the willingness to embrace the free offer of mercy in Christ Jesus. Now the second application of God's purposes being based upon the counsel of his own will, we make to those that are here today and they are troubled with Christ or God's plan in their life. You find yourself humbled under the mighty hand of God. You find yourself having been separated from a loved one in death. You find yourself having been separated from a financial income. You find yourself having been separated from health that you once enjoyed. And yet you find yourself troubled with God's plan in your own life. Is there any comfort? Is there any consolation in the fact that God is working all things which come to pass according to the counsel of his own will? Yes, I think there is. In fact, I think that without us being able to anchor into this great truth, there is no hope in the world without this truth. We read in the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 7. John chapter 13 and verse 7. Jesus speaking to Peter. And Peter did not understand the action that Jesus was performing in his life. Jesus was going to wash Peter's feet, and Peter didn't understand why an infinitely wise being such as the Messiah here, Jesus himself, should condescend to do this. And so, Jesus revealed this great statement unto Peter. Listen carefully. Verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now let's break that down in relation to the decrees of God. What I do, Peter, I am doing something right now in your life, and it is coming to pass because of an infinitely wise purpose which I have purposed towards you. Now, you do not understand it right at this moment, but that does not mean that my purpose is not being fulfilled in your life. What I do is but the fulfillment of the will of my Father, which was given me before the foundation of the world on your behalf. Now, the second part of the text is, thou knowest not man. The secret things belong unto God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children, that we may do them forever. Deuteronomy 29:29. The decrees of God are not revealed unto men until after they have already come to pass. But God has revealed His will for men in regard to their duty as to how they should serve God and how they should serve their fellow man. But God has not revealed the reason for all of His actions, and these actions are referred to as the secret things or the secret purposes of God. And now we do not know or cannot understand those purposes which God has not seen fit to reveal or explain them to us. But yet we go on with the last part of the text. Jesus said, but thou shalt know hereafter. There is coming a time, Peter, in your own experience as a human being in which what I'm doing right now shall be given to you as understanding, and you will be able to appreciate and love the will of my Father in heaven with the same capacity that I now delight in my Father's will, because I myself see that even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. To those that are present here this morning and you are humbled under the mighty hand of God, and you would ask the question, why, Pastor Gables, was my child taken from me? Why, Pastor Gables, was my husband or my father taken from me? Why have I been chosen to endure the terrible affliction of pain that is in my body? Why have I suffered this financial setback in my life? Why, Pastor Gables, why? Can you tell me why? And we revert back now again to the person of the Lord Himself when He says these words, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. My friend, Jesus could pray that when He was going to the cross. He could look to that cross there on Golgotha's brow and say, not my will, but thine be done. And He could rejoice in knowing that He was fulfilling the purpose of the Father, even though that purpose meant that He was to suffer on the cross of Golgotha. And here you and I today that have experienced difficulties and afflictions in our lives, can we now bow before that same cross which may be given us and be able to take those loved ones like Abraham did with his beautiful wife Sarah and place a kiss upon her cold cheek and then go out and leave her beneath the sod and look for that foundation which hath builders and whose builder and maker is God, and rejoice and be consoled in the fact that even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight to bring this to pass. Father, I leave my Sarah, my companion whom you gave with me. I leave her in your hands. You gave her to me. You took her from me. And you did so, Father, because it seemed good in thy sight. And now, O God, I ask for additional grace to enable me to go on and to leave this circumstance in life and to look on out into the future to that city which hath foundation, to that hope which you have revealed to me, which is in the gospel, that you are the author and finisher of my own salvation process. Yes, beloved, that's the only thing that will enable you to anchor into the eternal rock of God's purposes. That's the only thing that will keep you from being swept overboard through the tribulations and trials of life, is to see that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His, what is it, His purpose. You believe God had a purpose in that tragedy that occurred in your life? You believe God had a purpose in that sorrow that He allowed you to come in contact with? You believe God had a purpose in Job's
dilemma? You believe that you and I, God also, has settled purposes toward us in our lives, that we do not know what it is and we cannot understand it now, but that God shall give us understanding later on? You really believe that today? Then if we believe that, can we bow before the throne of infinite wisdom when these things come and they would crush our very hopes, our very hearts, and say, "Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Even so, Father, or so it seemed good in thy sight." Oh, the wisdom of the purpose of God in Christ Jesus. Are you anchored into that wisdom today? Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you understand the purpose that Jesus came to fulfill here when he came to this earth? Can you identify with him? Do you know him? Remember, to know him is to have everlasting life. For Jesus said that this is life everlasting, that they may know thee, the only true God, and thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord today? I'm not asking if you know about him, but have you experimentally became acquainted with his own person and work on the cross of Calvary for sinners? Oh, sinner here today, why do you imagine a vain thing? Why do you think you can cast off the mighty hand of God from you as a creature? Where shall you run to flee from this almighty God that you may be able to sin and he not find you out? Where shall you go? How shall you escape his power? What ability shall you use to keep him from bringing you to judgment? Lay down those arms of rebellion, and with the prodigal son, leave those sins in the far country and run to the Father's house and see if there's mercy there for you. Even now, today, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that your infinitely wise purpose, that we might be made to see the beauty of it and to rejoice in it. God, may you give us grace for this day to face whatever your purpose has for us this day. Whatever your soul desireth, then, Father, bring it to pass if it be pleasing to thee. And, God, if it be affliction and trials and a cross, then we come before you as needy people, asking for sufficient grace to be able to bear the thorn of affliction. Because when we are weak, then are we strong. When we see our inability, then we see all of your powerful ability. In and of ourselves, we're nothing. But through your hope, through faith in the purpose within your Son, we can do all things. Help us to learn with Paul that whatever state we're in, therewith to be content. Seal this truth to the hearts of those today. Capture the rebellious heart and strengthen and encourage the humbled heart. For Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.